Support for WPR comes from UW-Superior Center for Continuing Education, offering Conversations on Living Alone, a three-part series beginning Wednesday, April 17th via Zoom. Details at uwsuper.edu. Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy, committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
Do you trust TV news, newspapers, or online news for your news and information? According to a new Gallup poll, our trust is declining in these media sources. Why is this, and what would be needed to increase our trust in media sources? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, June 24th. We are going to talk with a guest professor about why this is and why it matters, and wonder if you think it matters. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Do you trust TV news, newspapers, or online news less than you used to? Where do you get your information? What makes it trustworthy to you? Let us know, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Mike Wagner, an assistant professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what do you make of this Gallup poll saying that I guess our trust in media is not very high?
It's been declining for some time across the board, whether it's local television news, newspapers, national television news. The numbers have been dropping fairly rapidly, and one thing that they correlate with is the increasing amount of choice that we have. So it used to be that in 1965, if I wanted to watch the news, it was at 5:30 and the news was on all three channels. And so I didn't have much of a choice. And if I wanted to be watching something else, I couldn't. Now we can do almost whatever we want, whenever we want. And that increased amount of choice allows people who don't care so much about the news to check out and watch something else or listen to something else or read something else. And those who do care can find a source that fits their own worldview, which makes them more skeptical of the mainstream news media, which is less likely to endorse their worldview. So all those things, I think, are happening at the same time to kind of produce a general decline in how much we trust the information that we're getting from the American news media.
So because we have this choice, we are suspect of other sources. We think that mainstream media or other media are biased.
Right. So a lot of experimental evidence shows that this is just the case. And some of it has been done by a guy named Al Gunther here at UW-Madison, where you'll show a group of people a balanced story. So a strong argument for an issue, and in the same story, a strong argument against it. And people over-remember the argument against their point of view, and they under-remember the prevalence of the argument that endorses their point of view. It's called the hostile media effect, the idea that we think the media are biased against our point of view. And this has been well documented across a wide variety of issues and a wide variety of circumstances. But one thing that decreases that is having choice. So if I choose to watch Fox News or MSNBC, I'm less likely to believe that they're biased. But if it's thrust upon me and I didn't get to choose, I'm more likely to believe that they're biased. And so that choice diminishes it for what we're watching. It increases it for everything else.
Yeah. So in a poll like this, if I am a regular Fox News watcher, I still might say I don't trust TV news, even though I'm getting my news from Fox News.
Right. I would interpret the TV news question as meaning the mainstream news media, and I would interpret Fox to be off the mainstream and saying here's a corrective to what's what the mainstream media is providing. And so and the same goes on the left. There's not an ideological difference in who experiences these kinds of effects.
Looking into this, into the numbers a little bit more on this survey, and I'm not sure you're able to do that, but I think other surveys have found this too, that conservatives trust TV news more than liberals, and liberals trust newspapers more than conservatives?
That's right. That's been the differences aren't enormous, but they have been fairly steady for quite some time. And there's a general belief on average amongst conservatives that newspapers especially are biased against conservative points of view, and usually they'll point to the endorsements that especially large newspapers make for political office as evidence that these newspapers are biased. Television news is increasingly less likely to offer those kinds of endorsements. It used to be the case that local TV news would run regular commentaries. There's still a channel in Madison that does that on occasion, but typically local TV news stays out of making endorsements or policy recommendations or things of that nature.
Well, you know, this Gallup poll does find that, let's see, 1 in 5 Americans reported having a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in any of the 3 major news sources, TV, newspapers, and internet. And that ends up being at or tied with the lowest numbers that Gallup has seen in these polls ever. Do we, is there any reason to believe that that confidence could go up with any sort of changes, either politically or through the actual media source?
It's possible, but it's not, I wouldn't say it's very likely. I wouldn't bet the farm on a reversal in this trend. The news media would have to undergo a lot of changes, and individuals would have to undergo a lot of changes where they would be willing to accept ideas that didn't fit with their own worldview, which most of us don't really like to do. Some of us do, but most of us don't. And the news media would likely have to do a much more upfront job of disclosing relationships they have with sources, with who owns them, with how who owns them might affect what they cover and don't cover and how they cover it. Corrections would need to be made in a much more aggressive and public way rather than burying it at the end of a newscast or in a small section of the newspaper. You know, those kinds of things have been shown, at least on a small scale, to increase people's confidence in their information sources. But it's a pretty difficult thing to reverse this trend. And part of it is that it's very easy for anybody to find evidence that the news media aren't doing a very good job. There's so many sources that you don't have to look hard to find something that you disagree with. And even if on balance things were getting better or staying the same, it's very easy to find something that fits the argument that you want to make.
So how concerned should we be that Americans don't trust the media?
I think we should be pretty concerned. I think we're coming closer to a crisis point in that. If we can't agree on what the facts are, it becomes really difficult to make good decisions, right? So if we're not sure, or if we don't trust the sources of information that are telling us whether vaccines cause different kinds of maladies like autism, whether the earth is getting warmer, whether there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, whether healthcare reform is going to cost us or save us money over the long haul. If we can't agree over these basic facts, it becomes really difficult to make good decisions. If vaccines do cause autism, we should do something about it. If they don't, we shouldn't. But if we can't agree, then we enter this kind of constant stalemate and push-pull, and we, first of all, can't ever resolve that issue, and second of all, can't turn our attention to other things that need our attention. And so a lack of media trust can have some pretty deep consequences for how policies get made in our country, about who gets elected to office, and what our general confidence is in the political system overall, not just the news media, but the folks that we pick to represent us, which is one of the central points of having a democracy.
You know, the fact that online news or internet news is also suspect in our minds, and according to this poll, it makes me I'm a little puzzled by that. I guess not entirely. Certainly, I don't. There are so many hoaxes and different things spread on the internet that it's like, well, yeah, I don't trust that. But there are. You know, it's like the entire media world is on the internet, so you can find different sources of information, and you have to do a little sifting and winnowing. But everything's out there.
Everything is out there. It's a tall order to ask the average person who is not, you know, waking up right now and saying, well, how am I going to hold the government accountable today? And how will I find time to check every fact across 7 different sources, you know, on the internet? We just don't have that kind of time. And so to say the right answer is out there is one thing, but to know where to find it and have the time to look for it and then update your attitudes and say, well, gosh, it seems like, you know, the last 6 out of 7 times the Yahoo news source told me something I think was right, and the last 3 out of 4 times, you know, the Dig source told me something that ended up being wrong. I guess I'll go to Yahoo more than Dig or whatever it is. It's really hard to keep track of all of that, especially as the choices grow every day. You know, every day begets a bunch of new websites that are trying to provide us information, and most of the new media startups are trying to put stories into context, trying to put statistics or broader historical facts around stories. And so it's becoming increasingly complicated to be an informed citizen.
We are talking with Mike Wagner, an assistant professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison, about this new Gallup poll that's out that says that our trust in media has hit an all-time low. Television news took the biggest hit in this poll, and we're wondering why this is. Why is it that that we are losing confidence, losing trust in our sources for news and information, television news, newspapers, and online news in this poll? What about you? Why do you think this is? What can be done to restore your confidence? Where do you get your information, and what makes it trustworthy to you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. A recent Gallup poll finds Americans have record low confidence in TV, print, and online news. We are discussing why this is and why it matters and whether anything can be done about it. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking with an assistant professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison, Mike Wagner, and our first caller is Colleen in Why Not. Hello, Colleen.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. What do you think?
I think that, I guess, in my opinion, it's less about the audience and more about the news. I think it's become less trustworthy. Because the content is different. I think there was a time when the news department was treated differently and maybe not so much of an income generator, and they were left to really report the news. And now it's more about ratings, and breaking news really has become more of a priority than making sure of your facts. And I think that, at least for people of my generation, that's really evident in the change in the news content.
Thank you very much, Colleen. So, Mike Wagner, the content is different.
I think Colleen is right. There is evidence that the content and of the poll we were talking about, of local television news, the content has changed a bit over time. And Colleen is right that a focus on now, a focus on breaking news, not really being concerned with what's the most important thing that happened today, but what's the newest thing that's happening today, has been a big change. And part of that, I think, we can lay at the fault of local television news or news more, or the news media more generally. And part of that is the environment has changed. And with the advent of the internet, you know, what would have been the top story in a world without the internet might change because most people have heard about it by the time the local evening news comes on at 6 or at 10 o'clock. And so part of the reason the content has changed is because the information environment has changed. But part of it has changed because there's a lot of pressure on news media outlets to make money. And even though trust is lower in television news and local television news than it has been since we've recorded people's trust in it, advertising revenue is up. Viewers are down, but advertising revenue is up. And so there is a pressure on these companies to find a way to appeal to advertisers, and there are particular kinds of stories that do that. Breaking news does that, crime stories do that, and those sorts of things.
You know, I'm interesting. CNN, for example, was criticized by many for going 24/7 on the missing Malaysian plane. And speculating and talking about black holes and all sorts of nonsense. But the ratings went up.
Right. People watched. You know, so on the one hand, people are right when they say the news media aren't reporting things that are terribly important, and that affects how much I trust them. But their trust seems to be a proxy for something else. You know, it's not that I don't trust that breaking news is happening right now. It's that I don't think that maybe it's that important as compared to other things that my city or county or state government might be doing that I would want to know about. And so part of it is that, and part of it is this kind of focus on the frivolous, the live car chase, the search for a missing plane, you know, these kinds of things, you know, are not crucial to the maintenance of our democracy or civic life, and yet people watch. And so they might say, gosh, I don't like this, but there are a substantial number of people who tune in, and CNN's ratings went up, and it's really hard for television news especially to get good ratings in non-election years. And so when something like this happens, it gets a lot of attention until people stop paying attention. Once CNN's ratings flattened down and started to dip again, they stopped going wall-to-wall with plane coverage. The plane is still missing, but they're not covering it because people aren't as interested anymore.
Yeah. And our caller mentioned that she thinks the news departments now are considered income sources rather than watchdogs.
Right.
Comment on that, but also the size of those news departments.
Yeah, in the early 2000s, the size of local television news markets or local television newsrooms dropped dramatically. Newsrooms were losing reporters left and right, which makes it much harder to cover a local community. It makes it harder to build trust in that community. You get the situation where reporters are so overworked and have to put together a story for the 5, the 6, the 10, and the web that they can't spend the kind of time that they might like to do a story. And local television news is especially unique because, you know, 5 o'clock, the news starts. If you're not ready, there's just dead air. And so there's a pressure to get done. And that pressure can certainly affect the quality of what news reporters are able to put together. And so there's been a precipitous drop in the size of newsrooms. That's starting to change. A poll from journalism.org in part of the Pew Center's State of the Media report that they do every year showed that news directors thought they would be hiring again for the first time in the next year. Whether their thoughts are correct, we'll find out over the next several months.
Let's take another call from Bob in Woodstock, Illinois now. Hello, Bob.
Hello. How are you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yes. What is your thought or question?
Well, back in the 1980s, there was they did away with a thing called the Fairness Act, to where you didn't really have to say the truth about stuff. This is mostly about politics, probably. Without replication. I mean, they could say anything they want and they wouldn't be challenged on it. And I think that has a lot to do with trusting the news now.
Mm-hmm. So did the elimination of the fairness doctrine lead to us not trusting the media anymore?
I think that had some effects on both sides of the equation. So it certainly affects the audience's trust, because if they're not seeing their side get represented, that's certainly a reason to say, well, gosh, this isn't very fair. And it also allows the media, to the extent that they might be biased, to just air the views of people with whom, you know, the news media itself or a particular station or newspaper, or to station in this case, might agree. On the other hand, if the job of the news media is to adjudicate competing claims and say, here's what's true, and side A is telling the truth and side B isn't, why give side B the microphone? If they're not saying something that's true, there's no reason to let them air their views. The question is whether we trust the media to make that decision for us. And, I think both callers so far have, suggested that the answer is no, that we're less likely to trust the media to decide for us what's true and what isn't, and that the traditional model of here's side A, here's side B, you make an informed decision might be what some people, especially news consumers, prefer. But maybe we just prefer that because that's what we grew up with and that's what we're used to.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Bob. I guess I should follow up on that. I mean, is there any reason to believe bringing back the Fairness Doctrine would bring back our trust in media?
That's a good question. I think the honest answer is I don't know. It's possible that it would. The question, I think, would be whether people would be open to hearing the opposing view, and whether people would be, and whether the media would be given each side a fair shake. So people might read into the aggressive nature of the questions for one side versus another, yeah, or the questioning, the kind of the follow-up questions of one side versus another. And so just because each side gets to be on TV doesn't mean they're treated the same way.
Yeah.
It's possible that it could help.
Yeah, the hostile media effect might come into play, though, too.
That's what we would expect, yeah.
We're showing both sides, or you're hearing both sides, or you're reading both sides, but you somehow get honked off at the side that you
don't
agree with.
Right, right.
Yeah. I think we have time for one more call before our news break. Mike in Milwaukee. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, I think the media has been beaten to death by the talk show hosts like Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, even as far back as the 80s, being called the liberal media, like, say, Spiro Agnew. So what's happened is they've tried to correct for that because they're so afraid of losing revenue and listeners and viewers. So they've swung to the right, and now they're, like you say, they've come to the point where they'll have two sides to each story and say, you decide. But sometimes, you know, the sky is blue.
Right.
And having another side to represent, to counter that, is just ridiculous. And the journalists need to, and this is why I've left the mainstream media, is sometimes you just have to call it like it is, and they're just not doing that. And I need to. So the way I resolve that is I go on Facebook and I find people who are posting who are much brighter than I am. Their analytical skills are, I read them over a period of time, and I say, you know, I really trust this person. I use them as editors.
Thank you very much, Mike. We have news to check from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll get our guest to respond to your comments and take more of your calls. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. So who do you trust for your news and information? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking about a recent Gallup poll that finds most of us have record low confidence in TV, print, and online news. We're wondering why this is, and wondering why it matters, and wondering if anything can be done about it. Do you have low confidence in your news media? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37. Talking with Mike Wagner, who is an assistant professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. And we had a caller just before the news. Professor Wagner had a lot of interesting things to say, I suppose. One of them was that he doesn't trust our news media, in part because he thinks that they have been pressured by the partisan conservative talk show hosts to be more conservative than necessary, if I'm paraphrasing that correctly.
Yeah, and there is some evidence that that's right. And some of that evidence has been produced by folks like Devon Shaw in my department here at UW-Madison, where there's evidence that what a lot of people who are trying to advocate for a political position do is what we can think of as working the referees, right? So you can imagine Bo Ryan walking up and down the court, you know, yelling, you know, he's 3 seconds in the lane, or he's traveling, to try to get the referees to focus their attention on something. And the same thing happens in the news media. And survey evidence combined with content analysis of what people who are in the news say shows that as more people complain that the news media are liberally biased, people are more likely to believe that the media are liberally biased, even if the content doesn't change. And so there is some evidence that just loudly complaining about the news media can affect people's trust of it, can affect their perceptions of bias, irrespective of what the content actually is. And so it's a good strategy for people who want to cast doubt on information that might be bad for them, is to say, oh, well, it's just the partisan media at it again.
Yeah, and he then said that he is also using his Facebook feed as, I guess as an editor, he monitors stories from people who he thinks are smarter than he is.
Yeah, that's increasingly common, where people who are interested in politics but maybe not so confident in their ability to adjudicate truth from fiction, or who just might not have the time to put into that, will say, well, I trust these people. These are my friends, and I know that they know a lot about what's going on, and so when they post a story, I'm more likely to believe it because I know them and trust them. I don't know Diane Sawyer, or I don't know a local television, you know, news anchor, but I know, you know, Charlie or Gene, and so when she or he posts something, I trust it more. And so there is some evidence that social media is changing people's news diets. Whether that changes their trust in media is a different question. It's not trust in media, it's trust in their friend who's posting this, that, and the other, which may not always be from the same source. And so there is some evidence that our social networks and the relationships that we build in online communities can affect how much we trust information. But whether that's all from the same source is probably pretty doubtful.
I guess along these same lines, Governor Scott Walker just wrote an editorial responding to the coverage of the John Doe investigation into his campaign finance activity during the recall elections. He said the media were going to help his partisan opponents in spreading this slander. Your thoughts on that and the effect of statements like that on news media's credibility?
Well, it's only slander if the media knows it's not true and reports it anyway. And if a prosecutor is saying something is true, then it's newsworthy to report that, just as it's newsworthy to say the investigation is also stalled and Governor Walker's not, you know, been convicted of any wrongdoing. That's also true, right? And so to say that it's a slander or a partisan play when new information comes in an ongoing investigation from prosecutors conducting it, it's probably worth reporting. Now, from Governor Walker and his supporters' point of view, it's also worth reporting in an equally full-throated way that he has not been found guilty of anything and that the investigation itself, you know, has kind of stalled. And so it's kind of another example of this hostile media effect where Walker opponent or Walker supporters are reacting to the first part of the story, which says, here's what's new. And it's something prosecutors call a criminal scheme, and Walker opponents being angry that the second part of the story says, but, you know, he hasn't been found guilty of anything and the investigation hasn't gone very far. And so that's not to give the media a free pass. It would be nice. And the caller made this point too, right? If, you know, the news media do like to say, here's our expert source who says 2 + 2 = 4. Now for another opinion, here's this other person. And sometimes 2 + 2 just is 4. But it's not always obvious what's true and what isn't, especially in the context of an ongoing investigation about criminal wrongdoing. You know, the prosecutors have incentives to make some arguments and the defense have incentives to make other arguments. And that's not as black and white as mathematics, or is the sky blue, or is it raining right now?
Right. Let's go next to Ron in Wauwatosa. Hello, Ron.
Yes, good morning, Joy and guest. I trust the news media, MSNBC particularly, because I believe that especially Rachel Maddow and Lawrence McDonald and others are people of integrity and of experience, and I really appreciate their insightfulness in their reporting of the news. I also trust Wisconsin Public Radio and National Public Radio for the news. I am in a nursing home. I'm legally blind, no longer able to read fine print, so I don't use a computer anymore either, or the internet. So those are my sources for the news.
Well, I appreciate your trust and your listening, Ron, to Wisconsin Public Radio. I guess he thinks he gets integrity and the truth on MSNBC and National Public Radio.
Yeah, you know, people have their favorites, and you know, Rachel Maddow in particular is a person who has different training than the average journalist, and so, you know, she, you know, went to England to postgraduate work in political science, and so has a different understanding of how some of those things work than maybe the average person. You know, it's also the case that some of the newer outlets, MSNBC, Fox, and also some of the new websites that are popping up like Vox.com or 538 are trying to do more with respect to putting the news into context. And so trying to give more of a history of this issue and not just what happened today, trying to do a deeper dive into the numbers to see where do these numbers come from, who produced them. And so there is some, you know, some new journalism that is trying to be more transparent and trying to say, if this is what you think is true, here's your conclusion about healthcare. But if these numbers are what you believe, then here would be your conclusion. And here's where these numbers come from. And you can decide which ones that you trust. And so there is a little bit more of that. And national public radio, public television tend to do more of that kind of work than other outlets who are under more of a pressure to make money and hold viewers for advertisers.
Well, a listener named Don tweets, "I trust public radio and get my news there. Why don't more people do the same?" I don't know. You tell me, Don. You can tell us, Mike Wagner. I will say that at least what I've heard is that while some of the other media numbers are declining, public radio numbers have been rising, but they're not as massive as the other media numbers.
Right, right. Yeah, they're at least steady and in some cases rising. But comparatively, they don't match the kind of the networks in terms of what they get in an audience. And so, the two explanations that are in the research about this are one, there aren't enough people who are interested enough in current affairs to want to listen to the deliberative conversation, the deep reporting, the investigative work that's done in these kinds of outlets. And the other is that some folks may want to make the case that public radio and public television are liberally biased. And so conservatives make that argument quite a bit. And so part of it is a perception of the information being biased, and part of it is a lack of desire to focus that much on current affairs. When you ask them, "Will you eat some vegetables?" they'll say, "Sure." And if you offer them a Twinkie, they'll say, "Oh, I'll have that." There is that that predilection out there for a lot of folks. And there also is just the fact that we don't always care about everything that's in the news. If you are really interested in same-sex marriage or healthcare, and that's not a part of the news today, maybe you don't watch. And when it is, that's when you pay attention. And so, not everybody wants a steady news diet of everything, but they are attuned to the things that they care about and seek out information about those issues with regularity.
That reminds me of a very recent story that I saw in The Atlantic where the complaint that there's not enough investigative news or not enough serious hard news. Everybody wants the international news stories. And The Atlantic, I did some sort of analysis and was just finding that the stories that were clicked on and the evidence that they had was that people really wanted the light, the entertainment, the lifestyle, and they were not clicking on the serious international news.
Right. If I go to CNN.com and the first headline has the word Syria and the second headline has the word Kardashian, the Kardashian's going to get more clicks than the Syria, and it will every time.
Yeah. So is that just fair? Or is that just blaming? I don't know. Should news organizations give us what we should know or what we want to know?
That's a tough question. And, if they want to stay employed, they have to keep an audience that's enough to convince advertisers to pay for them to fund their operations. And so, a lot of news organizations really struggle with the balance of, of candy to vegetables, of hard news to soft news, of infotainment. And there's evidence that entertainment media has positive effects and it brings people to politics who otherwise wouldn't be brought to politics. And so there is some evidence that it can be good, but there's lots of evidence that, it doesn't inform us very well about what's going on. It produces expectations about citizenship that just aren't consistent with what's required to maintain a democracy. And so there are certainly lots of bad things about these kinds of things, about the trends in how the news media cover things, especially entertainment versus hard news, especially on the stations that we think are the ones that are supposed to be giving us the hard news. If it's on The Daily Show, fine, I go there to laugh. But if it's on CNN or Fox or MSNBC that are supposed to be telling us, what's happening in the world, then, they probably spend too much time on the fluffy stuff.
We are talking about this recent Gallup poll that finds that we have record low confidence in our news media, TV, print, and online news. And we're discussing why this is and why it matters and welcoming your questions, welcoming your own experiences. Do you trust TV news, newspapers, or online news any more or less than you used to? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking about our confidence in our news media with Mike Wagner, an assistant professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Tim on Facebook writes, I occasionally listen to interviews conducted by journalists from other countries, and I'm always struck by how good they are at getting to the truth and pressing their interviewees on details. This tenacity is almost entirely absent in mainstream American news and all of its 8-second sound bites.
That's on the long end now.
Yeah. Well, first, a quick react to Tim's observation. And if Tim's right, what might be holding American journalists back from getting the truth from their interview subjects?
I personally think that he is right. And I think that the quality of television news interviewing is much lower than it used to be. And part of that is driven by the way the wheel is constructed, driven by the way that the segment is constructed on television. And so you have the person on the Sunday morning show, and I'm going to ask her this question, and then no matter what she says, I'm going to show this graphic and ask another question. And so the follow-up is dead in television news to a certain degree. There aren't a lot of follow-up questions that are asked, and there aren't a lot of questions that are asked about how do you know that. And I, you know, get very frustrated watching television news interviews when someone makes a claim, and I just think to myself, I really wish the interviewer would say, how do you know that? And, you know, one reason that they don't is that they're afraid of being, like the earlier caller said, they're afraid of being called biased, and they're afraid of turning off a large segment of their audience by pressing a source. And another is that they're afraid of not getting access to that source anymore. And, you know, not everybody's willing to go on the Sunday morning shows, and the people who are on are the same cast of characters. And one reason is that they're willing, and to upset them makes it less likely that they'll go on, which makes the job of booking guests on the Sunday morning television talk shows all the harder. And so part of it is, I think, a lack of willingness for journalists to go after folks. Part of it is, you know, being afraid of being called biased. And part of it is politicians are increasingly less willing to go to sources that they don't think agree with them, because they can narrowly cast, they can just tweet to their followers, they can use Facebook, they can go on a partisan news network and avoid everybody else.
Next, we go to Pam in Greenleaf. Hello, Pam.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that I have a 18-year-old son who likes to listen to, like, Rush Limbaugh and those types of folks. And he'll sometimes tease me because he'll talk about something in the media, and he'll have a totally different perspective from what I do, because I like to listen to a lot of different sources. And kind of make my decision then. So it's sort of interesting, and I actually will challenge him sometimes and ask him, now, did you actually hear that on the news, or did you just hear that from the talk show people? I said, because you realize that is not news, that's opinion. And I don't think the young people really do realize that. I think they think that's news.
So is it just young people, Mike Wagner?
It's a little bit more likely to be young people, but it's not just young people. And the distinguishing between opinion and fact in the news media or entertainment media is increasingly difficult to do, especially online. It's a little easier on the radio if you go in saying, okay, I know, you know, Rush Limbaugh is a host and is giving his opinion. But a lot of times online, you'll see a story interspersing facts and opinion, or you'll see an article on a blog quoting the Washington Post, and then in the next paragraph giving their commentary. And a lot of research suggests that we are not very good at remembering which information came from which part, which came from the news story, which came from the commentary. And so that's across the board, no matter your age. And so people have a hard time sifting through the increasingly complex environment to remember, who taught me that? Was it an opinion, or was it a fact from an edited news story?
Thank you, Pam. Glad that you can still talk with your son, though. Let's go.
Right, that's great.
Gene in Madison. Hi, Gene.
Yes. Well, with the modification of the FCC in 96 by Bill Clinton, which was one of the worst things that has happened in the last two centuries, namely, there were you could only own five TV stations, 25 radio stations, and there were some rules concerning if you owned a newspaper in the market. You now have six media corporations mm-hmm. with well over 80%. Throw in the little half-sister called NPR, and you have media domination. We have a democracy because you only have to convince six people to make sure to tell. You don't really want to report on that. And newspaper people and TV and radio people, they pick up on what's allowable and what's not allowable. How do you expect to have information? A century ago, a city like Milwaukee would have 10 newspapers. Madison had five, I think. We no longer have a free media in this country. It's a mockery. Thank you, Bill Clinton, for deregulating.
Thanks, Gene. So media ownership rules have screwed it all up, Mike Wagner?
They've made dramatic changes, and so what you can own has dramatically increased. You can cross-own several different outlets in the same local market, which greatly increases the power of who owns that information and who's producing it. There is evidence that the kind of ownership, whether it's an individual or a family that owns a newspaper or a local television station versus kind of a mid-sized corporation versus a large corporation, there are differences in the quality of what they cover, how often they cover hard news, whether they offer more than one side to a story. There's a lot of research that suggests that ownership is important. There's also less evidence, but there is some evidence that big companies buy successful media outlets. And so if a news organization is doing a good job, they're likely to get targeted by a large corporation. And then if they're doing a good job by providing lots of good information, that corporation has an incentive to keep it doing that. But if a corporation has a political agenda, they have an incentive to alter that kind of coverage. And so there's more evidence than not that the increasing concentration of ownership is not good for diversity of opinion.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can talk a little bit about net neutrality as an unfolding story.
Well, right.
What's that going to do, I guess, to our media sources?
To put some people in the web fast lane and others in the slow lane is likely to have some pretty big consequences. And so, it's really important. That's an issue I think most citizens should check into and pay some attention to and talk to their lawmakers about, whether they think it's okay to charge different rates for kind of different quality of web service.
Yeah. We have just a minute to go. Just kind of tie a bow on this. I guess, do you continue to see a decline in our confidence in our news media?
I think that it's the trend has been fairly strong on the way down. It's been fairly steady, though. In the last 5 or 6 years, it's hovered between, 25 to 18% of people who say that they have a great deal or so of trust in the media. It's not all a terrible story. A lot of the new startups are working very hard to do a more thorough and transparent job of how they cover things. It's just a matter of finding an audience, and whether that audience is just the people who are already really interested in politics or finding an audience that can grow and help people become more interested in what's going on. And so there's reason for optimism, but there's not a lot of reason to bet on a shift in this trend.
Thank you very much for being here. Mike Wagner, assistant professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. Thanks to Christy Taylor, to Cynthia Schuster, to Robin Cherry for producing and directing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.